Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, afternoon. It's a ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Back and better than ever. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. Thank you for joining me. You know, the people who do join me every Thursday at 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show. I believe we have tonight, we have a special guest who's Newark, veteran Newark. Activist and author of Redemptive Son. He goes by the name Abdul Muhammad. Good evening, my brother. How are you?
Hey, brother Ron. Long time, brother. How you feel, sir?
Yeah, I'm feeling. I'm doing well. And in honor of your appearance, I wore a bow tie tonight.
that's a blessing, brother.
Yeah, I'm wearing my, well, it's the Cowboys bow tie. I'm wearing my bow tie tonight, brother. In your honor.
I take that versus the Steelers.
All right, everybody. Yeah, Abdul Muhammad is in the house. We're going to talk. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to also talk about the book. It's called Redemptive Son, Heartbreaking Book, The Chronicles and Aspirations of a Young Man. Thursday to share his story. We will get back to that in just a few minutes. But brother, the man, you know, a lot has happened between the last time I saw you and now. Much has transpired, especially with this Trump presidency.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's. and then this thing, words, people listen to you. You say, when I'm doing my radio show, I talk about that people should take action, but I specify what action they should take. I'm not telling people that they should go and kill the police or shoot anybody. And,
right.
You know, and you can lay this, you know, me personally, I laid this right at Trump's feet. I laid this at
right.
the feet of Trump, this whole thing, because he yeah. has these rallies and he's, and all of the people, and it's no coincidence, Brother Abdul, that all of the people that were targeted with these bombs are people that Trump talked about. Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the leader of the DNC until something came out, the WikiLeaks got to some of her emails. Now, but man, I tell you, it's. What are your thoughts on all of this, brother? As you see all of this stuff unfold, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, I think that when you look at everything that's going on, definitely the president has created a atmosphere of hostility amongst the American population, whether that be Democrats or Republicans or independents or people that are just sympathizers. You know, we have always been a country, Ron, that have always been reactionary. You know, and it don't take much for people to respond to reactionary illusions, you know, if you will. And I think that, you know, when you see what's going on, it's really indicative of the lack of leadership amongst our president, because he has not shown no decorum of professionalism at the highest level. And I can say as a black man, as an American, you know, we should not expect anything more for him, because he has shown us, you know, in this last year and a half that he has been in the White House and prior to, who he really is. The writing has been on the wall before he has even gotten into office as to who he is. He gets on national TV yesterday and he cannot even mention former President Barack Obama's name or President Clinton or former Secretary Hillary Clinton's name, he used another name by calling them at the highest level of his government. You know, so this is really shows us where our country is at. You know, I remember prior to him becoming the president of the United States, and I was traveling down in Virginia with my pastor, who you know, Pastor Vincent Cook, and we made a stop in Virginia at a McDonald's, and I just remember the atmosphere of the hostility that was in Virginia at that time when we made that stop. You know, this president has created that, he continues to create that, and it's really a shame, brother, that we are at where we at, you know, in this time of decadence in our community and in our country. But at the end of the day, like former President Barack Obama said, at the end of the day, vote. We got to get out November 6th, and we got to vote.
See, and here's the other thing, too, Brother Abdul. See, here's the other thing. There are lots of people out there who have been in a closet, so to speak. There are a lot of folks out there who agree with Trump. See, this is why people are so passionate about their following of Trump, because there's a lot of people out there who've been feeling like the same Trump for years, and they've been waiting for a savior, so to speak. So here comes Donald Trump to run for office, and he's freed a lot of these people. He's freed
He has given them a voice.
He's freed them because it's fashionable now to be like Trump. It's no longer, you know, because a lot of people they kept that behind the green wall. They wouldn't come out and talk. They wouldn't dare say any of the things that Trump says because they didn't have anybody to lead them. So now they have President Trump. When Trump comes in, he starts talking exactly what they want to hear. He's been talking about the things that they've been talking about for years. It just was unfashionable for them to see. So now here comes Trump, and these people come out of the woodwork. So what troubles me is that there's so many people out there who think exactly like he does, and some of them even worse.
Yeah, and I think Ron, that we're seeing white supremacy at the highest level of our government, at the highest level of our government. When we talk about white supremacy and whites being in power and whites taking control, you know, we are seeing a manifestation of it. You know, and anytime, you know, a black individual talk about black, you know, inferiority and black supremacy, we are labeled as anti-Semitic, and we are labeled as this, you know, and no one has the gumption or no one has the wherewithal to call this president out, because he has used his bully pulpit, you know, to intimidate the media, to intimidate, you know, other people and all that. And I would even say, even as a Democrat, you know, our Democrats got to get some type of testicular fortitude, you know, beyond the election of November 6th. You know, they got to get some type of fortitude, because the Democrats haven't even allowed him to do the things that he have done, you know, and without calling him out.
Well, see, the Republicans don't care. You know, they got used to Trump. You know, it was a bitter taste. You know, they became accustomed to Trump, because in the beginning, they cringed every time Trump opened his mouth. But now they see that Trump does have some legs, and there are people who follow Trump. Now a lot of the Republicans are getting on the bandwagon. You see what happened with Senator Susan Collins, who endorsed the Supreme Court. Brett Kavanaugh endorsed him, and now what's happening is that the people who cringe every time Trump opens his mouth, now they are embracing him because he's the president and he does have the power of the people who follow him. So they're getting on the bandwagon now, like, oh well, he's not so bad because there's so many people out there who approve of Trump. So when he goes to these rallies in the whitest parts of America, there's all kinds of people there. There's thousands of people, and maybe not as big as they used to be when he was running for president, but certainly enough to make the Republicans feel a little bit better about Trump.
They're looking for votes in their districts. You know, they're looking for re-election in their districts and all that. You know, when you look at a man like Senator Ted Cruz, who Trump blatantly talked about during the course of the primaries to the him running for presidency and all that, he talked about the man's father. Now, here it is that Senator Ted Cruz the other day embraces him at a rally. When you look at Paul Ryan and all the individuals that he talked about and all that, so these individuals, you know, to me, have no testicular fortitude, you know, when it comes to the rights and the vision of America or the standing up of right from wrong. You know, at the end of the day, it's to them, it's about standing power, you know, and it's wrong. It is truly wrong, because at the end of the day, if President Trump was to lose tomorrow in an election, these individuals will have to go back to their districts and go back to their constituents and all that and explain why they supported this man and all that.
Well, see, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, we have midterms coming up, and, you know, I project that the Congress will flip to the Democrats, but I do believe that the Senate will stay in the hands of the Republicans. And if that happens, we're going to have a real problem getting anything done. But, you know, see, this thing with Trump, and then we have black folks who support Donald Trump. Now, I don't have a problem with black folks supporting him, but I just wonder if they really understand who they're supporting, what they're supporting. Because you have a black folks for Trump and all of this stuff. And these are not made up organizations. These are real bona fide organizations of black folks that do, who support Trump. Now, I don't think anything's wrong with black people supporting Trump, but do you?
No, I don't have no problem with nobody supporting anyone. You know, if your political affiliation is Republican or Democrat or Independent or nothing at all, then that's your prerogative. I don't have no problem with that. My thing is, it boils down to integrity. It boils down to right from wrong. You know, what this man has done and continue to do is separate American people and divide this country. We're at a very difficult time in this country where, you know, we can almost create a riot, you know, an insurrection in this country because of the fact the words that come out of this man's mouth, you know, and it's so vitriolous that it is absurd to hear this man, you know, make the stance that he stands, you know, and to separate the American people. You could be walking down the street, literally, Ron, and just feel the tension amongst blacks and whites now because of the fact that we're so divided. You know, this country is so divided, you know, and at the end of the day, it's so sad because you have so many other people that are not politically savvy or politically aware as to what's going on, and we don't really see the handwriting that's on the wall because we don't think that it affects us right now. But it does affect us because when we think about our children, when we think about the place of where we're going at within the next 4 to 5 years or 8 years of this country, you know, and the things that he's doing, you know, with those in the Senate and all that. It's scary. It really is, because none of those individuals on the Republican side have the fortitude to really say to this man what you're doing is wrong. When you look at Senator Flake want to come out. You know, he wanted when Kavanaugh was being decided for the Senate and all that. He wanted to come out and say, you know, this man was wrong for the sexual harassment, but because of his base, and that's what it boils down to, Ron. They're feeding that base, you know. And as long as they continue to feed that base, they're going to ignore, you know, anything when it comes to the American people, whether it's right or wrong.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing that, you know, that and I try to tell people, you know, politics is a dirty business. You can't be successful in politics and be squeaky clean. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you gotta you gotta lay down with dogs and get up with fleas. Sometimes you have to make deals with the devil. And I'm talking about from the councilman on up. You know, you sometimes even up to Obama and Trump, you know, they had to make deals with the devil. They had to hold their nose and do stuff because politics is a dirty business. Politics was created as a dirty business. It was a dirty business back in the 1700s when the Constitution of these here United States was formed. It was a dirty business when they said that a black person had the same rights as a cow or a horse or a pig. You know, it was a dirty business back then. It's a dirty business now. And you can't, there's no such thing as a grassroots campaign. You can't come in being nice. You're going to have to, you know, at some point you're going to have to compromise yourself to a degree, because the people who win, and even in these local races like Newark, New Jersey, Patterson, for my national audience, because there is a national audience here, people from California and different places listen to the program. So even like in Newark, New Jersey, and in Patterson and places like that where the show originates, in Montclair, New Jersey, there's still, you know, everybody, all these politicians have dirt under their fingernails. You know, a lot of them, they have 2 and 3 jobs and all this type of stuff. So, you know, this is, you know, you can't be in politics and keep your hands clean. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. I'm not going to hold you too long, brother. I know it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank God for year, right? Thank God for another year. But I'll take a quick break.
Yes,
we'll come right back. We'll talk about that redemptive son, and we'll talk a little bit more about what we can do. Because, brother, I always preach about what can we do, not what.
Right.
Why do we have to keep going to the white man, or not going to the white man, because there's black politicians downtown, too. I'm talking about going to City Hall with our hat in our hand. When are we going to start taking care of our own self? We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with Brother Abdul Muhammad and more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. And it is like, well, I'm not going to mention it. But anyway, we have Brother Abdul Muhammad here, veteran Newark activist, Brother Abdul Muhammad, who also has penned the book, self-help book called Redemptive Son. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But, you know, Brother Abdul, I always talk about, you know, what we can do as a people. You know, because it seems like we just can't get along. I mean, if you look at the relationships between blacks and whites, I look at the relationships between blacks and blacks. And more often than not, if I don't like you, no matter what the cause is, I'm not going to work with you. You know, when it comes to black folks, we just can't seem to put our differences aside and work together as a group. I've witnessed it, you know, myself with some of the things I've gotten involved in over the years with the Ron Kelly Show and me personally. And I've witnessed how, you know, the folks who have issues with each other just can't put those issues aside and get to the to the problem at hand, brother. So, I mean, do you see that? Is that you've been out there on the bricks for years. So I would stick my neck out there and say you have seen situations where folks just, you know, where they just threw up their hands because they didn't get along with the person who was running the show.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I definitely have witnessed that. I have definitely experienced it, you know, on a personal level. You know, people sometimes misunderstand what your motives are, what your intentions are, and because you are not aligned with them, you know, they assume that, you know, you are not doing the work and all that other stuff like that, you know. But no, I have gotten to the place, Ron, in my experience, I have gotten to the place of my work that I don't have to appease no one, you know, because I think at the end of the day, when your work speaks for itself, it speaks volumes. You know, when people look at what you have done and what you continue to do to motivate the people, to inspire, to encourage, you know, and to leave a legacy, you know, it really does not aggravate me as much as it used to, you know. But I think that we're so used to that crabs in the barrel, you know, that crabs in the barrel are pulling each other down, you know, just to get ahead. And at the end of the day, we're really not getting ahead because the crumbs that you're getting really are not much more than the crumbs that I already have, you know. So,
yeah,
so you know, because, you know, yeah, you know, because you might see me on the radio or you might see me on the TV and you might assume I might get a little bit more shine than you. But at the end of the day, you don't know what my struggle was. You don't know what my struggle was. And at the end of the day, not only my struggle, my purpose, you know, because my purpose might be to get there so I can help you get there, you know. But because we are so used to pulling each other down and talking about each other, you know, especially among African American community, we don't see the reality of helping each other out. I had an experience. I don't know if you know. I had an experience about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, on the steps of City Hall. You know, I held a press conference. You know,
I did hear about that.
I held a press conference in regards to the violence that was going on in the city of Newark, and because of an individual that had a personal vendetta against me, you know, caused an insurrection on the steps of City Hall to the point where, you know, as you know, I was choked almost to death on the steps of City Hall, you know. But at the end of the day, I didn't let that situation bother me because of the fact that, you know, I knew I was within my right. You understand what I'm saying? I knew I was within my right, and I knew why God called me to those steps of city at City Hall. And at the end of the day, whether you see me out on the streets, you know, like we used to do, as you know, back in the day of stopping at prayer vigils and talking about stopping the violence and all that, because you don't see me out there, don't mean that I'm not doing the work. You understand what I'm saying? My work might be called in a different realm than what it was before. And I always use the analogy, Brother Ron, of Malcolm X. When Malcolm left the Nation of Islam, many people call Malcolm a hypocrite. No, Malcolm didn't become a hypocrite because he went to Mecca. Malcolm evolved. And that's the problem in my community. We cannot accept that a person has reached a level that they have matured and they have evolved beyond just the sensationalism and becoming reactionaries.
And that's absolutely 100% correct. And see, here's the thing. Like, you know, I've always said, you know, I've said many, many times that, you know, that I beat our people over the head because I can't see, I see that we are our own worst enemies. In a lot of cases, we're our own worst enemies. Like the brother, the Botham Jean, the brother that got killed down there in Dallas by the police officer who just walked into his crib and shot him. You see, and they showed the city council meeting, and there was plenty of empty seats. That place should have been packed. when black people are assaulted and killed by the police, et cetera, or any situation, you know, black folks don't come together. It's like, well, you know, we don't come together until something happens to us. Then we come together. And I see this over and over again where there's not a lot of people who are showing up at these marches and stuff like that. I mean, that this is how we got things done back in the 60s. It was thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The March on Washington, when Dr. Martin Luther King made his famous speech, there was thousands and thousands of people there. So, and nowadays, you know, we've been called what I call armchair activists. We do post on Facebook. When we get mad about something, we post on Facebook. Oh, I'm mad. Then we go back to doing what we were doing. We're not showing up. We're not showing out. We're not organizing, strategizing. We're just sitting back on Facebook saying our little piece. Then we go back to our life. And I'm just totally sick of it, brother. And I hope that at some point we can stop with this social media nonsense. I mean, social media does have a place in activism, but you got to, I'll put it like this, social media has a place, but you have to show your face sometimes, brother.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Totally agree.
Okay, and nobody is on my video right now, and I'm wondering, like, why is there nobody on my video? I mean, not one person is on my video feed tonight. What's going on? I hope they can see me. I think that's probably what it is. They can't. There's some problem, and they can't see me. So, okay, I'm going to end the video. And
I was trying to do the live thing. I couldn't figure it out myself.
Nobody is on. Okay, not only me. Yeah, I'm trying to do the live video. Nobody is. I mean, not one person. Usually, there's, you know, it's a bunch of people. On the feed, but there's like nobody on the feed. I'm like, wait a minute now, not one person's on the feed, not my regular crew. I guess maybe they think I'm not on the show tonight, but here I am, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. I'm just did a little countdown. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Y'all know what time it is, 7 p.m. Thursday night. I love doing the show on Thursday night because tomorrow I know is Friday. And I have with me veteran Newark activist, Brother Abdul Muhammad, who has also written a book. It's called The Redemptive Son. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And happy birthday, brother. I'm not going to try to, you know, I'm trying not to hold you for the entire hour, maybe just for this next break.
I appreciate it. It feels good to be 50.
Yeah, man, it's just a number, brother. It's just a number.
Just a number. You know? That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, and I see cats, you know, I go to the city, I smoke cigars, you know, it's one of my bad habits. And I see brothers, you know, with gray beards with their pants hanging off their behind. And see, this is what I'm talking about, man. We're not representing, this is what I'm talking about. We're not representing ourselves properly. We're not representing ourselves. You know, we're still trying to be down and all of this type of nonsense. And we're not representing ourselves, brother, and we're our own worst enemy. We're a lot more. I believe that we're a lot more harmful to ourselves than the white man could ever be. And you know, we keep trying to go downtown, go to these council meetings with our hands stuck. Them people ain't giving us nothing. Those people are not giving us nothing. They're not giving you nothing. Roger Rock or whoever it might be, black, white, green, purple. They're not giving you nothing. Nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know, I totally agree.
You work.
It boils down to do for self. You know, if we're not thinking in terms of doing for self and accepting our own and being ourselves and developing entrepreneurial ways, you know, then we'll never get out of our circumstances. You know, and that's what it boils down. And that's just where I'm at. That's just where I've been at. You know, and that's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I started, you know, to, you know, God said to me, you know, when you're going to, you know, because sometimes we sitting on our own gifts, and sitting on our own gifts, we never birth them into reality, and then sometimes what happens is we we let 5 years, 10 years go by, or even death passes us, and then we never manifest our potential. And I never want to be in that arena of individuals, you know, that never left a legacy so that my children and my children's children can say that their father never did what they're supposed to do because I was a beggar of other people. And I just never been that type of individual.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, that, you know, there's no, like, I do this radio show. I mean, I don't make money doing this radio show. You know, any money this radio show makes, it goes right back into it. I'm not putting the money in my pocket. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of courage, you know, to put yourself in front of thousands of people all across the country, not just on the radio, but on Facebook Live, too. I mean, I get trolled, and sometimes the first thing I say, I mean, you can read my posts on Facebook, and there's one person in particular who comes after me every single time, along with a couple other brothers. Another brother who was black who used to live in Newark. I'm not saying that black folks can't disagree with me, but the brother lived in Newark. He lives in lives in Connecticut now. You may know him. I'm not going to say his name. But he called himself an activist or whatever the case may be. But I think we are, a lot of ways, we're our own worst enemies. And what happens is our people run for office and they use us to get in office. And then once they get in office and they see that it's not what they thought it was going to be, you know, then they kind of get swallowed up in the matrix. And it's happened with President Obama, mayors, council people, all the way down to the committee person. You know, you had a committee person or a Democratic leader in Essex County who was all caught up in all kinds of nonsense. I forget the brother's name, but he fighting with people and stuff. And it just gets so ridiculous. And you're right, brother, do for self. That's what I preach, do for self. Stop listening to Reverend Al Sharpton, who I do respect. I respect that he's making an effort to try to do something. But that old talk, man, we gotta change that, brother. Would you agree with that, or do you have another position?
Yeah, definitely, because we're dealing with a younger generation that don't want to hear that old time religion, if you will. You know, appeal to the younger generation, you gotta talk a different language. You know, I currently, you know, my job, I work in the reentry field. I've been in that field basically for a long period of time, but I work in a halfway house, you know, and I work, you know, with ex-offenders that, you know, are coming out of state prison, you know, and, you know, as a counselor in that halfway house, sometimes, you know, you got to talk to them young guys different than you talk to the older guys that's in there, because their mentality is totally different. And if you come with that old time way, you know, or that 1960s, 1970s way, they don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? So in order to appeal to them, sometimes you got to come to their level, not stoop to their level, but you got to come to their level to help them to understand that. Listen, you got to bring your mind up to this day and time as to what's going on, because a lot of our young people, let's believe it or not, they're so filled with fantasy. They're so filled with the right now, the get rich scheme and die now, and you got to break through all of that. You got to break through so many walls of so many hurts and pain and damage, you know. And if Al Sharpton or Minister Farrakhan or any of our leaders are not talking that way to reach our young people, we'll never be able to arrest and deal with the dilemma of the problems that our communities face every day. You know, you could be at the bus stop as an older gentleman or older lady, and you could see a young man or a young woman about to do wrong. And if you're afraid and they sense that fear in you, you're going to become a victim. You understand? You're going to become a victim. But if you understand who you are, And really appreciate, you know, the spirit of our ancestors and foremothers and fathers, then nothing that a young person do, it makes you afraid of them, you know, to be able to talk to them. And I think that's where we at in our community, where we have become afraid of our young people. We have become so disenfranchised that our young people don't even respect us no more as leaders.
They're saying, yeah, okay, I hear that people are telling me they can't see me for some reason. I'm not sure why. For some reason, people can't see me. They can't see me, and something's going on where nobody can see. Okay, that's because brother, I'm used to people come on my show. You know what I'm saying? For some reason, you know, I mean, every week there's a long line of people who link on to the Facebook Live post, but this week there's nobody there, and I was kind of wondering what happened. Yeah. So I really don't know. Have to log out of Facebook completely and come back, but let's get back. Let's get to and peace to my brother, my childhood friend, my best friend in the whole wide world, Dan Norman, who's in prison, in Ohio for murder. So you know, he got a life sentence. I was so devastated when I heard the news. I haven't seen him in like maybe 25 years or so, you know. But I am communicating with my brother, you know. A lot of times, Brother Abdul, people walk away from cats when they have like that kind of time. People just walk away and give up on them. Like, oh, you know, life, they never coming out anyway. But no, you're my friend for life. And I've had a couple of conversations with him. I'm going to go to Ohio and visit with him and let him know that, you know, there's somebody in his corner.
Right, absolutely.
And hopefully at some point he will need reentry. Hopefully, you know, God willing, he will get out at some point. But they gave him a life sentence, and hopefully he'll get out at some point. So let's talk about redemptive. I'll let you go, brother. You know, why? What's the book about? I did read some of it. I apologize. I wasn't able to read the whole book, although I will read the whole book. I just didn't have time to do it. But I have read, you know, kind of crib-noted it. And so you tell me, what's the book? First, let me tell me, why did you feel the need to write it?
Well, you know, from prior to interviewing me many years ago, I talked about, you know, my situation with me and my brother and what happened with me and my brother, Andre Malik, and me taking his life in 1987, you know, me going to prison for that for 10 years, you know, and my family experiencing what we experienced, and then me having a daughter at the time who I named after my brother. So I always wanted to write a book, you know, and in fact, when I was in prison, I wrote a book called Stop the Killing, The Life and Message of Abdul S. Muhammad, but it was a manuscript that I never released. And then when I came home, I changed the title of that manuscript from Stop the Killing, The Life and Message of Abdul Muhammad, to From Tragedy to Triumph, The Life and Message of Abdul S. Muhammad. So I was ready at that particular time in 2012 to publish that manuscript. And then I got with my team, my publishers and all of that, and my team, and it was like, well, you know, it's a good story. You know, to tell your story as to what happened in 1987 and how, you know, how God blessed you to come from where you came from and all that, but we got to change the title. And I was like, well, you know, God gave me that title, Redemptive Son. I mean, you know, God, I said, well, God gave me that title from Triumph to Tragedy. I said, no, you know, you got to change the title. So I went home one night, Ron, and in the process of going home, I was trying to find a title that fits and chronicles my life story. And I came up with Redemptive Son. And I called the publisher, and they was like, that's it right there, Redemptive Son. And then we had to come up with a cover for the book. And if you look at the cover of the book, it's an image of a young man walking out of his past into the light. So that is another, there's an analogy of me walking out of my path, becoming the Redemptive Son. So the contents of the book talked about what happened in 1987 between me and my brother and my mother standing there and witnessing the death of her son, you know, when I pulled the trigger that day. And then the book talks about my interest into the prison system, the things I accomplished while I was in the prison system, and then to my metamorphosis of coming home, getting involved in activism and all that. And then I have a chapter in there which was the hardest part of the book that my publishers and the one wanted us to include, was called Mama's Words. I had to sit my mother down after 20-some years of pain and hurt to interview her for the book, to get her words as to what happened, what she experienced between losing her two sons, one to death and one to prison. And I had to include my mother in the book, and that's what took the book so long to get published and all that. And I finally interviewed my mother, and my mother has a chapter in the book, which I think is the best chapter of the book, called Mama's Words, where she talks about what she experienced, what she went through of losing her two sons and all that stuff like that. So this book here has become a release, if you will, for myself, my family, and even the community that have read it, you know. So it's doing good. The book is continuing to sell on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, on Kindle and all of that, in different venues. And I continue, when I'm doing speaking engagements, I'm always promoting it. You know, I have a new book coming out in December, between December and January, called Empowering the Black Community. But Redemptive Son is always going to be my heart. It's always going to be my heart.
You know, brother, I'm gonna finish the, and you know, and before I let you go, let's you know, we're getting together. I was on Stop the Violence tour. I'm a lot better than I was back. I've learned a lot since then, brother. So, so you can definitely use me.
Yes,
so whatever I
yes,
can
sir.
Do, let's get together, brother. Let's be the change that we speak about. Let's be the change. Let's not just talk about change. Let's be the change. And I'm definitely gonna. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to reach out to you. I got some things that's coming down the pipe, as I said, you know, and I'm doing some things in, you know, within the next year, you know, that's coming up in 2019 with the release of a new book and some other stuff. I got some youth projects I'm trying to develop and all that within the schools and all that. So, you know, God has been good. I've been moving quietly, but I've been moving.
Okay, but that's a beautiful thing, brother. So we'll do that. Because, you know, we're not that old, we're not that young, but we're not that old. We're kind of right in the middle where right in the middle where we can still connect with the youngins out there. We can still get with them. So, brother, happy birthday, you know, happy birthday.
Thank
to you,
brother.
Brother.
I appreciate it. This was a good birthday gift, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll push the book. Everybody, Redemptive Son, it's on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. I will push it. I'll post it on my Facebook page, brother. And I will make everybody I know buy it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I'll make sure I save you a copy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yes. And yeah, I can just get it from Amazon like everybody else, even though most of the people send to me, but yeah. All right, brother,
yes,
thank
sir.
You, man.
Thank
definitely,
you, brother, and enjoy your evening, brother. Have a blessed one, man.
Whatever you need me for, brother, if I'm free, I'm there. Because like I said,
we have to
walk the walk, too, as well as talk the talk. So thank you, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right. Ron
All right.
Kelly forever, man. Peace.
Thank you, brother. All right, everybody. That was Abdul Muhammad. He's the author of Redemptive Son. Longtime Newark activist, Abdul Muhammad, everybody. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back and wrap this thing up. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Ron Kelly Show.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, The ones in Barraza's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barraza's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barraza, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
But I own every one of them. Thank you, everybody, and welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. I'm like, where is everybody? There's nobody on my Facebook feed. What's going on? I got a new phone. I got the iPhone. I drank the Kool-Aid, everybody. I drank the Kool-Aid, and I have an iPhone 10, whatever they call it, X, Max, whatever. And I guess trying to put Facebook on it, I must have shut myself off to the world. How could I even ever do that? Anyway, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Albert Vega, better known as DJ Tiny, DJ Tiny, DJ Tiny. Check him out. Matter of fact, he was on last night. It's DJ Tiny, 8 from 10 to bleed. I believe it is for all you househeads. I know you're a lot of them. I'm one of them myself. I'm an admitted househead. So you can check out DJ Tiny. It's Thursday night, Wednesday night, I should say, from 8 to 10 East, 9 to 11 Central, right here on dwildmusicradio.com. It's dwildmusicradio.com. There's an event coming up very, very soon. So go to dwildmusicradio.com and you can check out and see what's going on over there. Shout out to Lamont Gates. And this bombing, I couldn't wait to come and talk about this bombing thing. And it's not funny. I know I'm smiling, but I'm always smiling when I'm on the radio. But it's not funny. I mean, but I couldn't wait to come and talk about this this bombing thing. Because you can lay this right at the feet of President Trump. You can lay this bombing situation at the feet of President Trump. Now, those who support the president are going to say, well, you know, it's fake news. As a matter of fact, the president, after asking for unity, goes to a rally and blames it on the media. Donald Trump asking for unity is like Bill Cosby asking to join the Me Too movement. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And you know, I just don't understand why he would even, you know, because the words are empty. But anyway, you can lay this at the feet of President Trump because, you know, he goes to these rallies and the very people that he talked about, the ones who got the bombs, and I don't believe for a second that the Russians did it or some kind of suspicion. I believe that there was some crazy person out there in one of those rallies. And look around. You go to the rally and look around. There's a whole bunch of crazy people. And these are the people that Trump talked about. Hillary and Bill Clinton, George Soros, who got the first bomb. Robert De Niro, who talks about Trump like a dog, Vice President Biden, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the DNC chair before she got the book because she got victimized by WikiLeaks and they released some of her emails and she got the boot, and so on and so forth. And these people who De Niro, I mean, why would you send a bomb to De Niro? But De Niro was one of Trump's nastiest critics. He wasn't just a critic, he was a nasty critic. And he talked about Trump like a dog. Shout out to Billy Maher. Shout out, hey, what's up, Billy? Hope you're having a good time down there in Florida. I was delivering a container to a guy one day today, and he said he was moving down there. And I'm like, man, I'm jealous. Shout out to my boy, Billy Maher. I know y'all couldn't see me for the first few parts of the show because I turned myself off to the world. I had everything only me. No wonder nobody could see me. Why would you not want to see me? Anyway, it's just a couple minutes before the hour. Shout out, thank you to Brother Abdul Muhammad, a longtime veteran Newark activist and author of Redemptive Son. And if you guys like this cowboy, you know, I know y'all see my cowboy bow tie and it's looking lovely. There's a pocket square that goes with it too, and I can tell you how you can get yours, whatever your team is, Jets, Steelers, whatever the case may be. If anybody wants to get one, I'm sure there's some bow tie people out there. I mean, Lamont Gates, I believe, is a bow tie wearer, some of y'all. And, you know, if you want to know where to get one of these beautiful bow ties, you know, let me know. I'll give you the information. You can hit me up on my Facebook page. And, you know, you don't have to have a cowboy one. Mine's with the Cowboys is I like the Cowboys. And I don't care what you say. But anyway, so you can lay this thing at the feet of Trump. Shout out to Derek Woody. I can't pronounce his last name. I'm not sure what it is, so I don't want to butcher it. But I'll spell it L-E-S-E-L-E-S. I can't even spell it. L-E-S-E-S-N-E. I'm not even sure how to pronounce that, but I don't want to butcher the brother's name. Thank you, brother. Yeah, so you can lay this bombing thing at the foot of Trump. I wonder what Lamont Gates has to say about this. But you can lay this at the foot of Trump. Which is thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. DJ Tiny, thank you, brother. And you can lay this at the foot. I mean, how much time do I have? You can lay this at the foot at Trump's feet. We have about 7 minutes left to the program. Because Trump has been, you know, he's been touting. He's been going around the country with these rallies, only in the whitest parts of America. You know, he's not going to have a rally in Newark or Atlanta or, you know, even Los Angeles. He has his rallies in the Midwest where nobody is. And those people just don't have anything else better to do. You know, they live out there. They live out there. I kind of figured that, Lamont. They live out there in the middle of nowhere. They really don't have nothing to do. So the Trump rally is the highlight of the week, you know, besides milking cows or whatever. And that's why he has his things out there where those people don't have anything else better to do. And, you know, he's been touting this nonsense for the last 2 years, before he became president, and even after, he's still holding these rallies like he's running for president. He's been talking this stuff, calling the free press the enemy of the state. I mean, how did you call the press the enemy of the state? But I tell you what, though, I looked when I walked into my vestibule today, when I came into my apartment building, I did look to make sure I didn't have anything. I don't think I'm famous enough to get a. They only gave it to famous people. But anyway, you never know. They might want to blow a little guy up like me just to prove a point. But anyway, I lay this whole thing at the feet of Trump because Trump has been touting his nonsense about Hillary, about Obama, George Soros is giving money, you know, all these total nonsense. And I believe that if it comes out that there was an actual person who did this, I do believe it'll be a Trump supporter. I do believe it'll be a Trump supporter who did this, because these are the very same people that he talks about on a regular basis. People, the last rally, they were CNN sucks, CNN sucks. And he's like dancing with them. Yeah, CNN, yeah, I don't like him either. You know, and people are listening to this stuff. And there's people out there. There's a lot of crazy people in America. Trust and believe. There's more crazy people. There's more sick people mentally than there is physically. Trust me. There's a lot of people out there on the edge, on the fringes. There's a lot of kooks out there. And I do believe, it's my personal opinion, I do believe that somebody from one of those rallies decided that they were going to help Trump out because they love him so much. They're going to help him out, and they're going to get rid of all these people. So the narrative now is, that the Russians do it, because this is the narrative that the Republicans are pushing now, that the Russians did it. That it's some kind of conspiracy, that it's a left wing attempt to sway the vote toward the Democrats in a couple weeks. This is what the Republicans are saying, that that the Democrats and George Soros, because George Soros is a billionaire, so it's the Democrats and George Soros who have concocted this scheme of sending these fake bombs to Hillary and Bill, to President Obama, former Vice President Biden, and all Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all of these people. This is a narrative that Republicans are pushing now, that, oh, the Democrats did it to themselves so they can get the sympathy vote come November 7th, which is in just a couple of weeks. But I don't believe that for a second. I believe that there was somebody. There was some cuckoo. There was somebody who was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in one of those Trump rallies who decided that they were going to help Trump out and they were going to kill Hillary and Bill. You see, because I listened to the press conference today, and they're not saying, the FBI and CIA and all these people, Secret Service, are usually tight-lipped about this stuff. So they're not saying if the bombs are fake or real. See that, because there are people out there who were saying that the bombs are fake, that they were meant to just scare, they weren't meant to kill. See, there's so many things. The Russians did it. They were fake bombs. They weren't real. I mean, there's so many There's so many conspiracy theories coming out of this now. You don't know, you know, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. But this is what's happening right now. So I do believe that they had something. I believe that some cuckoo bird from the Trump rallies decided they were going to help him out. And they tried to actually kill these people. The highest profile Democrats in America, you know, they sent these bombs to. 10 bombs. And then Maxine Waters, poor Maxine, 83 years old, Maxine Waters. They said the bomb, I think he got 2 bombs of Maxine. He wanted to make sure she, you know, they wanted to blow her up and then blow the pieces of her up. So they said 2 bombs to Maxine Waters, I believe it was. And so now they're scrambling around to try to find out what happened in this country. You know, even though it's people say that the country is divided and all this stuff, I mean, it is to a degree, but I do have friends. I have friends who, oops, I forgot to look at the feed. I'm sorry, Lamont. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Lamont says some conservative is painting this as Dems had to give. Yes, absolutely true, Lamont. There are some Dems. There are some conservatives who are saying that the Democrats concocted this scheme to get votes. I mean, really. I mean, it's really. Who believes that? Shout out to Albert Baker who says agrees with me 1,000%. That's right. That's right. There were no Russians. Do they know how stupid they sound? He's right. The Republicans, right. This is the thing. Blame the. And see, and Trump last night, you got to get about 2 minutes left to the program. And Trump, minute and some change left to the program. So Trump last night goes out. Yesterday afternoon, asked for 90 seconds of the program. He goes out last night and asks for yesterday afternoon and asks for unity. Then he turns around at one of his rallies and blames the news. So the fans are still flaming. This man has no self-awareness whatsoever. The flames are still being fanned by President Trump. And if he's not careful, thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Purnell. If there's people out there who are about a minute left of the program, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there who are training the people, the militias, the people out there who are training to come into the hood and blow us away. And Trump is just energizing these people. He's giving them reason. He's giving them, they're sticking their chest out. Yeah, we got a leader now. Trump even went as far as to call himself a nationalist the other day. So, you know, we got to get together. We got to get together. 30 seconds left of the show. I'm going to tell everybody, this is very, very, very serious. We need to get together, and we need to, black folks, black and brown folks need to come together. We need to get it together, and we need to confront this situation. I don't mean with weapons and knives and guns, but we need to get together, and we need to figure out what we're going to do about this when the lid comes off. Because if Trump stays in office, we're all going to be in trouble. All right, so I'm out of here, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Those who could catch up with me, I'll see you back here next week. And don't forget, get it together.